Would you rather have your team win in a sweep or in a dramatic game seven?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Dramatic game seven. Let's take one of your teams, Ben. It can't be football because they only play one game. Who's your favorite hockey team?
The Preds.
The Preds, right? Ben loves the Preds. Best thing about watching the Preds play is what? Watching the Preds play.
No, you're
you know
wrong.
What I mean?
You're wrong.
With a seventh game, you get seven games. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather watch seven hockey games than just four.
Airing every day
from noon to three.
You have done this to yourself. All I have to do is kick away the chair, my friend. The most famous Predator series of the last 5 years when they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. And now Chicago cannot argue with Nashville ever because all they have to say is, hey, brooms.
Buddy,
brooms.
Sure, they beat the
brooms.
Blackhawks, but you remember what
hey,
happened.
Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. Nothing.
Drama.
There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've
game
given me that pain.
Game 7 is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
thanks.
7 becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Hour two coming at you in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. The big man, McFourcourse Meal, collision course. He's about to eat it up like a snack. Nom, 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 nom.
Thanks, John. Herm Edwards is Herm Edwards is taking a job at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State. So in addition to his football responsibilities, he is joining the faculty of the journalism school. Herm spent nearly a decade at ESPN. He's going to serve as a guest lecturer in classes and conduct regular discussions on sports and the media at Cronkite, according to Bruce Feldman. So Herm's going to teach him a little journalism while he's out on the recruiting trail there.
I don't think of Herm Edwards as a journalist.
No, me neither. He doesn't really fit the mold.
I mean, like, if he was teaching a class of, like, here's how you talk on TV, like, maybe that's what it'll be. I don't know. But, like, I don't think Herm Edwards was abiding by any journalist rules.
Right. He was more of an opinion analyst guy. You know.
Or just like, hey, this is an old wacky ex-coach. Like,
right.
Here's how you talk and give your opinion. Like, I'd be okay with that. Oh, well, whatever. I mean, it'd be cool to have Herm Edwards as a teacher, I guess. Although, I don't know if it would be. I feel like he'd be a tough grader.
This coming from the NFL Network.
You take the class to get the A's.
Coming from Michael Silver of Sports Illustrated. I guess he said it on the NFL Network. He says, according to multiple sources, several veteran Browns players approached Baker Mayfield in the locker room yesterday after the young quarterbacks, they probably didn't approach him yesterday, this probably just came out yesterday, after the young quarterback's critical comments about running back Duke Johnson, the veteran players went up to Baker Mayfield to register their displeasure and they hashed out differences. So you remember what you were saying last week about this? You don't mess with a man's money. You don't talk about the guy's money.
I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I told you so, or hey, duh. But I mean, you don't do that as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that as a quarterback who makes more money. You don't do that as someone who is going to be looked at as the front office's golden boy. You can't do that, and maybe Baker Mayfield will learn his lesson. They said, like, they kind of came to an understanding, like, maybe Baker Mayfield will chill out. The way I put it, Cody, is that Baker Mayfield has gotten where he is with the whole us versus them mentality, right? Us versus the world. Everyone disrespects him. It's us versus everybody. The problem with us is it has to be us. And who's us? The people on your team. You can't be having that mentality against the people in your locker room, right? If it's going to be us versus them, you got to make sure your us is the team. It's not us, management versus them, the players who don't want to step in line. that's not going to work. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that that couldn't be received well in the locker room. Good on the Cleveland Browns veterans for basically telling Baker Mayfield to shut his damn mouth. Now we'll listen to see if Baker Mayfield actually shuts his damn mouth or not.
Maybe just, I guess, a lesson that needed to be learned for a young player.
You know? I mean, Baker Mayfield's been brash everywhere he's been. And look, I'm not going to hate on Baker Mayfield because you know what? Baker Mayfield's way has worked for Baker Mayfield. Won a Heisman. Number one pick in the draft. It's worked. But you can't do that to your allies. You can't do that to your teammates.
Dante Stallworth commented on this. He said, I really like Baker Mayfield, but he's got a chill. I'll never forget, Michael Irvin told me after I was drafted, never comment on another man's pockets or his business.
See?
I never would anyway, but I appreciated the advice from the Hall of Fame wide receiver I looked up to growing up a 49ers fan.
You just can't start counting people's money, man. Like, I think that's, I mean, that's in sports and that's in any walk of life. You know what I mean? Like, you can't talk about your coworkers' money. Like, I mean, just imagine how dumb that is. Like, if you look at it through real people perspective, like, your boss and your coworker is having a disagreement. Your coworker wants a raise, and you just come out and tell the whole office, hey, Greg over here wants more money, and Greg doesn't want to work with us, so tell Greg to get the hell out of here. Like, that doesn't work.
It's completely, yeah, I mean, when you think about it in those terms, it's completely asinine.
Like, I mean, it's weird anyways because, you know, we don't think of pro athletes like a business place, right? Like, we don't openly talk about what Greg makes in accounting, like what his salary is. That's not talked about as a water cooler conversation. That's not something you can easily Google. That's not a big part of, you know, keeping up with your business, because one of my favorite parts of sports is the contracts. Like, that's why I could talk NBA contracts all day. That's why I could talk salary cap there all day. NFL makes it a little bit tougher to understand for me because of the dead money and all that stuff. But if you look at it through a normal person prism, like, shut your mouth, Baker Mayfield. Let your coworker try to make more money. It doesn't bother you. Keep your hands out of his pocket. It's a good life lesson.
Keep your hands out of other people's pockets?
Just keep your hands out of other people's pockets. Like, no need for that. And I'm glad Baker Mayfield learned his lesson. I like to think one of them punched Baker Mayfield in the eye, but I think we would have already heard about that by now. I wonder what Duke Johnson's thoughts are about that. But you know what? Duke Johnson is a classy professional, so he won't say anything publicly until he's gone. And then he'll be like, yeah, I hate Baker Mayfield. Kid's got some growing up to do.
USA soccer star Megan...
I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I mean, we saw that story coming, right? And I had some people saying, Cody...
It was just last week.
I had some people saying, hey, Cody, remember... Or, hey, John, remember when you said that the Warriors would be more careful with Klay and Steph? They sure as hell wasn't letting Klay come back out of that locker room. They shut him down. They ended up, he had a torn ACL, so... I think they would have figured that out pretty quickly if he ran back in the first time he tried to cut. And he just collapsed on the court, but...
Yeah, that was the slow motion looks at that knee were quite compelling.
But he wanted to stay in the game. That's what's wild is that the Warriors didn't want to foul. They wanted to just keep playing and let Klay stay out there. And then DeMarcus Cousins was like, surely we're fouling to get Klay out of the game, right? So he fouled and everyone's like, no, don't foul. So they gave the Raptors 2 points back and then, yeah, Klay went to the locker room. But you knew at that point they weren't bringing Klay back regardless.
Yeah, even before Doris told you. USA soccer star Megan Rapinoe.
I do love me some Doris.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? USA soccer star Megan Rapinoe is refusing to sing the national anthem before the World Cup match.
Caesars, apparently.
The Women's World Cup.
These damn gambling gods are all over the place. Caesars has the Lakers at 4-1 to win the title as the favorite.
Who, the Lakers?
As the number one favorite.
The Lakers?
At 4-1.
The Caesars?
Yeah.
At the Lakers?
Yes. 4-1. How do you go from 20-1 to 4-1? Like, who the hell put the 20-1 line up yesterday?
Odd Shark.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, who the hell was making that line? How do you go from 20-1 to 4-1?
I don't know, but I trust Caesars. 4-1? Favorites?
4-1. Favorites. Bucks at 6-1. Clippers at 6-1. Raptors at 8-1. Rockets at 10-1. Warriors at 10-1.
I think this is going to be a really awesome year for LeBron to run back over this league. The ratings are about to go through the roof.
It's going to be wide open. I'm hoping it's a real Oh, you forgot who I was type of season from
LeBron. Like Tiger.
Yeah.
Kind of like Tiger's comeback.
Well.
Oh, you forgot about me.
More dominant. More like Peyton after the neck injury when he came back and threw, what was it, 49 touchdowns? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
55? Good job by you, Finley. Yeah, I think he got into the 50s. Either way. Peyton came back from the neck injury, it's like, oh, yeah, no, wait, I'm still really, really good.
The 2013 season?
Yeah.
Like, that's when he broke all those records.
Yeah.
It was 55 touchdowns in a season. And I think he, at the end of that season, is when he threw, like, the 513th or whatever it was to get the record for most of the year.
That was also
the whole time.
That was also the season where they lost to the Ravens, right?
Lewis announced his retirement, and they all just rallied behind him.
Yeah, and they let that guy get behind them for the touchdown.
Yep.
Because I want to say Peyton had two
years. No. It was the year after that he came back and threw 55. First year
they played the Seahawks?
Yeah. First year he came back was good. 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions was good. But then they lost, and then he came back and threw. Yeah, went 55 and 10.
Okay, so that was the year they lost to the Ravens when he threw 37?
Yeah. And then they lost to the Seahawks.
43-8.
And then he fell apart at the end. Then he fell apart at the end of the 2014 season. They lost to the Colts because he had no leg. And then, you remember the last season where he went 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Which was poetic.
I want that 2013 season from LeBron. Like, remember me? Like, yeah, I'm still really, 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 really good.
What'd you say you think? Giannis is the best player? Oh, Kawhi, he's the guy now? You forget about me?
There might be some HGH involved. I don't know. Maybe it's LeBron's wife.
So.
LeBron is like, hey, it's for my wife. That's what
Just
Peyton
like
did.
Olivia.
Peyton
like
said, hey, that's my wife's HGH. Don't worry about it. That's what LeBron will say. It's fun.
It's for all the future Taco Tuesdays.
And they actually don't even check HGH in the NBA, so it's fun. He's not even breaking any laws.
Olivia's Archie's wife.
Either way.
Whoever Peyton's wife is.
Whatever her name. What's her name?
Oh, what's her name, yeah. Well, Megan Rapinoe, the U.S. soccer star, she did not join her teammates in singing the national anthem on the team's opening match against Thailand. According to reports, she stood silently.
Is this the story? Like, you have to sing? Like, if she kneeled for the anthem at the World Cup, I know we've made that a story. Now the story is she didn't sing?
She didn't sing.
Did everyone, like, are you required to sing? Do you guys sing?
Apparently all the other members sing.
But, like, I know in soccer, at least, like, whenever they pan the people, they're all singing.
I don't participate in any of those.
I mean, I stand.
I stand just
because... I put my hands behind my back or in front of me. Like, I try not to slouch. Like,
I don't... Do you do the hand over the heart thing?
No, I don't do hand over heart. Like I said, I keep my hands by my side, like either locked in front of me or locked behind me. And
I stand just out of respect.
I try not to sway or, do anything disrespectful. I take my hat off, but, like, I'm not singing.
Oh, yeah, same here. I stand out of respect, whatever. But the whole thing, to me, just... The pregame stuff is always kind of awkward.
I've always just seen soccer players singing before the games. I think like in soccer and in the Olympics, the players typically sing.
Sure,
the
because
anthem.
I mean you're usually doing more international stuff. Like
I think that with the World Cup, they might kind of think
right
because
I mean it's country versus country, obviously, and then the team friendly is obviously country versus country. That's fine, I guess. But
then you got like the prayer where everybody please bow your head. I always look around. Just look around during the prayer, see what everyone's doing.
I just didn't know that was a requirement.
Oh, Cody didn't close his eyes.
He didn't bow his head. Oh, no. Moments of silence, those are always weird.
I used to get in trouble at like my family events. Whenever
Peeking
we
around
do,
whenever you're
whenever
praying.
We do the prayer. Because at the end, I'd always be like, oh, Chase didn't close her eyes.
Why do we always
so you were just dry snitching on people.
What's with the moment of silence anyway? Is that not the most awkward thing?
It's supposed to be
a sporting event.
I don't have a problem with
How about a moment of screaming?
I don't have a problem with a moment of silence.
The whole game is screaming.
Yeah, let's do a moment of screaming. Everyone in the stadium just screams loudly for the person who died.
I don't have a problem with the moment of silence.
I don't know.
I think the moment of silence is is a good thing. Pays respects.
There's always that one guy, though, during the moment of silence that, like, whistles or something.
You got any more headlines?
Yeah, I got a headline for you. Kellen Winslow.
Oh, we'll talk about Kellen Winslow after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, you want to tell me about Kellen Winslow? We've obviously been keeping a little bit of an eye on this case. It's Kellen Winslow, we've already found out, is a rapist, right? A serial rapist. Now, I guess, this is the point where people start pointing to all the warning signs that maybe we should have known Kellen Winslow needed help. Like, don't, before we get into it, you're already laughing. Like, you think it's funny. You think these stories about Kellen Winslow are funny?
Rape is not funny.
No, not the rape. Not the rape part. The stories I assume you're about to read are the ones about him, his actions in the locker room,
They're
and the
not
plane.
Funny. They signify a troubled mind, and it's going to be difficult for me to read through this. Let's see if I can pull it off.
Pull it off, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see if I can.
See what you did.
Now quit jerking me around and let me read this. Former NFL tight end Kellen Winslow II, as we know, and this is very serious, he was convicted of rape, indecent exposure, lewd conduct on Monday. We know all about that stuff. Well, Sports Illustrated published a lengthy story detailing some other things that Kellen Winslow did. Apparently, he had a real problem around his teammates when it came to the freedom he would enjoy in pleasuring himself. That's how we'll put it. Winslow apparently freely masturbated, and he looked at pornography.
Hardcore stuff. Hardcore pornography.
With no regard.
Which I think is an important distinction here when you're out like in public. It wasn't even the tasty.
If you're
going to
do it
stuff,
in public, at least watch some, you know, like some tasty, tasteful, you know, maybe a Playboy video or something. Well, anyway, he apparently looked at it in front of his teammates with no regard for who might notice.
To the point where the team would always let him have an empty seat on the planes. Like no one, they just pretty much knew that no one was sitting next to Kellen Winslow Jr. They're going to leave him an empty seat on the plane.
They did. The Sports Illustrated piece said he could always count on an empty seat due to his ritual of bringing his portable DVD player on the plane, watching his programs. On one occasion, apparently an equipment manager tasked with delivering gear to the lockers after hours walked in on Winslow doing his thing at his locker, two seats away from the entrance. So he would freely do it in the locker room. Winslow would brag about cheating on his wife by having one-night stands on road trips. But the focus was mainly on the behavior his teammates specifically witnessed. When pornography became widely available on mobile phones, he often watched on his smartphone during meetings, two former teammates said. Teammates begged out of shared hotel room assignments with him because he watched it and freely did his thing with no regard for who was in the room. Apparently, one time a player asked to switch rooms. Browns coaches Romeo Crennel and Terry Robiskie at the time tried to mentor Winslow so he would change his habits, but it did not work. Later on in his career, after being sent to Tampa Bay via a trade,
Should you be forced to go to, like, porn addiction? Like, I feel like if this happened, do you acknowledge like sex and porn addiction as a real addiction? Do you acknowledge that?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, okay, so like if Kellen Winslow would have been snorting lines of cocaine on the team bus, they would have sent him to rehab, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not laughing at this story. Like, ha ha ha, Kellen Winslow masturbating all over the place. He couldn't keep his hands off himself.
Me neither.
Ha ha ha, he's a 12-year-old kid for the first time realizing what the real pleasure of life is all about. But, again, if he was out here drinking alcohol nonstop, if he was snorting lines of cocaine and couldn't stop, like, wouldn't the team send him to rehab?
Yeah.
Like, do we feel like these teams are complicit here of him not getting him help? Like, your big answer for him was, well, we'll put Terry Robiskie around you. Like, that's going to stop him?
I mean, you should have known a guy like that who will just willingly pull it out and just do his thing no matter what. I mean, imagine that. Imagine we walk out.
I don't know how he got through the entire game. Like, did he have to go at halftime? Did Kellen Winslow just disappear in the bathroom at halftime for 4 or 5 minutes?
Maybe. Maybe so.
I mean, I'm not even joking about this because, like I said, it sounds like he had a very serious addiction.
Yes, he was perpetually horny. I mean, it was I'm not joking. I mean, I
know. He was big horny.
That's who he was.
No, I mean, he's big horny.
That's who he was.
And he couldn't keep his hands off himself. Like, he obviously displayed problematic behavior. So I'm having a hard time, like, laughing at all this. Because I feel like these teams are complicit in all these horrible things that he has done since football. Like, he's raping everybody.
Grandmas.
When you're raping grandmas.
He's a grandma raper.
When you're raping homeless grandmas, you have gone completely too far. Like, obviously, raping anybody's bad, but I'm saying you've got a big-time problem. You're raping everybody.
Well, look, this story would be the kind of story that you could kind of laugh about and just be like, this is really weird. But obviously now the rapes have happened, and so that makes it a little more serious. But yeah, the warning signs were there. Apparently he acquired a life-sized silicone mold of a woman's torso to bring with him on road trips as well.
The details now, like, we get it. I don't need, well, he also had a blow-up doll. He took on the road trip to San Diego.
He did.
They found his
package.
They found his fleshlights in his locker after he got cut from the team. They had been heavily used. I don't need those details.
Because plenty of details in there.
No, I mean, I'm sure there are, and they're all going to be sick, and they're all just going to point to this guy being a real sicko who needed help, and these teams and his teammates didn't help him. Like, I'm not making an excuse for Kellen Winslow. He's obviously a creep. He's a criminal. He is a deviant. All that stuff. But I wanted. That's why I asked you before we got started on this. If you recognize sex and porn addiction, like if you actually recognize that as a thing.
I think anything that can stimulate the endorphins or the, sure. I don't know, the neurotransmitters in the brain.
Dopamine.
All the stuff that
the
brings
endorphins
pleasure.
Work for me. What'd you say?
Dopamine.
Dopamine. There you go. All the stuff that brings pleasure. Like, I think any of that
anything that
can
triggers
be
anything
addictive.
In the brain, like gambling that makes you, I mean, I'm sure
food,
there's some endorphins
food.
And dopamine in there, but it also, like, they're. Also, the pain is a good part of the addiction of gambling. Like, you actually feel, like, really sad and afterwards, and, like, you get that gut punch feeling that some people like. Like
gambling, cocaine, fast food, alcohol, nicotine, they're all – it's all the same thing in a way.
Well, that's why I'm asking if you – that's why I asked before we started whether or not you took that seriously and, like, you thought that was a thing.
No, I think it's a real thing.
Like, with Tiger Woods always kind of felt like a cop-out. Like, his sex addiction thing felt like a cop-out. I don't know if I bought into the whole Tiger Woods was addicted to sex thing. I kind of think Tiger Woods was just taking advantage of his power, and Tiger Woods liked women.
Well, I think you can still be addicted to sex and not become a rapist. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure, sure. But
so
I'm saying
I do think there's a distinction here with Winslow.
Well, I don't know. Sex addiction, and you're just, you know, you're meeting up with random partners and you're not taking, you know, using protection and you can't keep your, you know, you just continuously swiping right or paying for escorts, paying for hookers. That's one thing.
Yeah, some people are all about it.
Well, no, that's one thing. But Kellen Winslow pulling his penis out and masturbating everywhere he's at, that's a little bit different in my opinion. That's really a sign of deviant behavior. Like, that's breaking the law. Having sex with someone is not breaking the law. Like, being addicted to sex like Tiger Woods was, Tiger Woods wasn't breaking any laws. Tiger Woods was just having a lot of sex with people and breaking his marriage vows. Kellen Winslow was actually breaking the law. Like, he got pulled over at, was it a CVS? Like, he was at the parking lot of CVS, was it, or Target or something? Like, where he couldn't keep his, he couldn't stop masturbating.
Yeah, he had to get one out there.
And he had obviously already shown these signs of behavior.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the fact that he's actually doing this, you know, to a climax, to me, is the difference. Because you do have guys in locker rooms that'll just, you know, they'll just whip it out and mess around, and they're like, hey, look at me, you know. It's a thing that goes on. I mean, I used to know a lot of guys like that would just, it's like they just wanted you to see it, you know.
Yeah, but I would say that ends by the time you're in the NFL.
I would think so.
Like, junior high school, immature, that's one thing. But again, I would think that would end with...
I mean, it's one thing to joke around with the guys, you know, and be like...
Sure, but I'm sure. You don't have to paint the picture. We get it. But that's not what was happening here, obviously. Like,
no, he was...
And even the sophomoreish behavior you're, you know, describing from your days in your weird locker room...
I mean, it's a thing that happens.
Okay, whatever. It's still weird. It would still be a little odd if he's doing that on the team plane while they're conducting business trips.
Well, and yeah, and there's a difference in just messing around or whatever and then doing the whole thing.
Sure, obviously.
Where you got to have that release.
We get it. And quit saying release. It's really
icky. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's really
icky. I want to make sure I get the point across.
Really, really icky, and it's a sticky situation over here. I don't want to hear any more about that.
I'm talking about the endorphins, the dopamine.
I understand. I don't.
Dopamine.
It's fun.
You're the one that's painting the picture in your head.
You're painting the picture in my head. I'm seeing the picture. You painted it.
You're splashing paint all over the canvas.
Yep, all right.
What?
Back on the program. Wow, Kellen Winslow's a creep. That seems pretty obvious.
He had some issues.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, speaking of issues, and did you see the Zach Smith story about your boy Brett Bielema?
I did see that. And KJ Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Brett Bielema's ploy cost Arkansas there.
If you would believe Zach Smith, do we take Zach Smith at his word here?
Well,
I mean, I guess
yeah.
he'd be the one recruiting KJ Hill, right? I mean, he'd be the one trying to get the five-star receiver.
Zach Smith's got nothing to lose at this point.
I mean, I don't want to say what I was going to say. I'll say it. Has Zach Smith taken a tiny bit of a kind of a face turn in that whole thing? Just a little bit.
Yeah. He's not as bad. Now he's getting a little bit of shades of gray.
I'm not saying he didn't hit his wife. Maybe
yeah,
he did,
yeah,
but
sure. I'm just
that thing's turned around a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like I talked about with the whole school thing. Like I was kind of on, at least from the stories we saw, I was less on his wife's side than
before. Yeah.
Well, then you know. Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows if he hit his wife or not? I don't know.
Apparently, he's got a podcast and he talked about Brett Bielema.
I mean, I take him for his word on this because KJ Hill confirmed this.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
KJ Hill came out and said this was true?
Yeah, he backed it up.
Okay, I didn't see KJ's confirmation.
He had a tweet.
Okay, so the story went that it's January of 2015 and Ohio State is trying to get KJ Hill, who was a five-star, right? Coming out of Arkansas?
Yeah, North Little Rock.
Hill was committed to Arkansas. But then was kind of reopening his recruitment. Bielema, of course, still wanted the homegrown five-star talent to stay at Arkansas. KJ Hill had an official visit set up to Ohio State. He was supposed to be there that Friday. On that Monday, Zach Smith says that Brett Bielema called and says leaves a voicemail saying, "Hey, Chris, this is Brett." Chris Ash is... you know, kind of the guy, I guess, who helps set up these recruiting visits and all that. I don't know what that position that would be in college football. That'd just be the SID. I'm sure they got a recruiting coordinator or something. Says, "Hey, Chris, this is Brett. Just wanted to let you know that KJ is going to cancel his official this weekend. I just wanted to apologize, but he's not going to come." So basically, Brett got out of it. Like, hey, don't count on KJ. Don't bother contacting him or setting him up any transportation. Because on official visits, they can help you with transportation, right? That's one of the differences between official visits and unofficial visits.
They can pay for that, and they can pay to basically entertain you that weekend.
Yeah.
Like, which I guess is supposed to be room and board and food.
Sure.
But I think that includes a little entertainment, too, you know.
Yeah.
Take you out to a movie or
go
bowling or, you know.
Strip club.
Yeah.
If you're taking a visit to Louisville.
Yeah. Whorehouse if you're out in Nevada.
Yeah.
You know. Stuff like that, entertainment venues.
Who knows what you used to do with Hugh Freeze? I don't...
yeah, you probably had some good times.
Yeah, you went to Tunica guess. And they passed you $100 chips that were untraceable.
Would think we'd see more five stars going to Nevada, you know? I mean, that seems like a really sinful state.
Maybe not Nevada as much as like UNLV.
Well, Carson City's where the bunny ranch is.
Well, I know, but
I tell you I'm going there on my trip? That'll be on the first leg before we get to California. We're going through Denver and over to Salt Lake City and then like to the Carson City area.
That seems like a weird beginning to the trip. It feels more like an ending.
We're going to go see Lake Tahoe. It's right in that area. But we thought, I mean, hey, the Bunny Ranch is right there too. Why not?
Have you looked up prices for the Bunny Ranch?
Apparently, you kind of negotiate it when you get there.
So just... theoretically speaking, how much money are you taking to said trip to the ranch.
I'm going to make sure I got plenty in the bank account, especially since we're going there first.
That seems like a bad idea.
What? Going to the Bunny Ranch?
It just seems like it's going to be expensive.
Oh, it's yeah. It's
seems gonna, like you're going to.
You mean because it's me? It's going to cost me more?
No. That's not what I mean.
Is that what you mean?
No.
I can understand that.
No, that's not what I was saying, though. I would tell you that's what I was saying. I just think for anybody, it's going to be $2,000? $1,500?
My buddy looked up some prices, I think, and found that you can get out of there for less than that. You can get out of there for like $300 or $400.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think so?
I would be shocked if that was happening.
I don't know. Apparently he read a message for him or something.
Okay.
If we get there and it's outrageous, we'll just buy a couple souvenirs and, you know, get back on the road.
Okay.
I mean, if you think I'm going to spend $2,000 in a whorehouse.
Are you going in there sober?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I think you should make sure you go in there sober if you go. I've been around you when you drink before. I would just go in there sober if I were you.
What, you think I'd spend too much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you would know how to say no if it came down to it, and you would walk out with no more money for the rest of your trip.
Well, the way we've got our itinerary vaguely planned out, we're going to go through – we'll be sober because we're coming from Salt Lake City to get over there.
Can't wait for you to come back and talk about how much you love Utah after going through Salt Lake City.
We're
going to
try
You know, I've been talking a lot of trash about Salt Lake City, but let me tell you, Utah, beautiful state.
Beautiful country.
It's now in my top five states in the entire union.
We're going to try to do Tahoe and the Bunny Ranch in one day and then try to end the night at Yosemite. I don't know. It's going to be a long day.
Cars like in the national park?
I think we'll go Salt Lake City.
That's what my friend did. He drove back from – he lived in Colorado, and when he left Vegas, he just drove back to Colorado.
Yeah.
So he just stopped like the desert in like, I guess, Arizona and just slept for a while.
That seems dangerous.
I don't know if that checks out geographically, but he said he just stopped at the desert and slept in his truck, in the back of his truck for a bit.
I think we'll go Salt Lake City – to Carson City. That's about 7 hours. Stay the night there. So we'll start the morning, basically, at the Bunny Ranch. Or Tahoe, depending on the pricing. And then we'll ease over to Yosemite, because it's only about another 4 hours.
So that's how you're going to start your day. That seems like a weird start to the day.
Seems like a pretty good start to the day, doesn't it?
I guess. I'm very interested in your feedback after this happens.
Oh, I'll be sure to let you know
how
everything goes.
We know. Be a lot of pressure. I hope you're able to perform.
I think they're probably pretty nice there. You know what I mean? They probably like, good job. You know, they take care of you there.
Okay.
Anyway.
They offer military discounts.
You can steal some Valor.
What, you think I'm stolen Valor guy? Come on.
I'm looking up 25.
He's looking up Bunny Ranch prices on the Wi-Fi.
I Googled the Bunny Ranch prices, and it came up with 25 stimulating facts about the Bunny Ranch.
Interesting.
Is what the list is called.
This, I feel like I can't, I don't know, it just feels.
Is it weird that this follows the
Kellen
Winslow
segment?
I
don't know if I'm supposed to look at this as a warning sign. I don't think it's a warning sign, but
who knows, a couple of guys having some fun.
A gift shop.
5 years from now, who knows? Like, well, yeah, that guy used to always openly talk about going to
It's just shady places. It's just a couple of guys having some fun. It's not a shady place. It's a very common destination.
I know, but you've talked about your trips to Magnolia before. Like you've
not on the air, did I? And we're going out west.
Customers generally spend between $200 and $600 during a visit.
Okay. Yeah, see, okay. I told you.
I would have assumed it was more expensive.
It might be for me.
While the tour guide implied,
I just meant in general.
It says it's implied that the prices are like $1,000 or over, but they typically spend somewhere between $200 or $600.
Okay, so maybe
this is a classy place.
So just don't get caught paying sticker price. Essentially, you gotta haggle a little bit.
Yeah, haggle a bit.
You gotta threaten to walk out. You gotta mean it. You might even have to walk out.
Hey, it also says they would rather make money from a polite guy than more from a jerk.
That's another thing my buddy told me, that they're very nice people. It's a classy joint. I mean, this is not like some.
You gotta turn your charm on. You might walk out of there $200 if you just turn your charm on.
Maybe.
Call her ma'am.
I mean, we'll see what happens. But
what
anyway,
a strange topic of conversation.
We're going to Yosemite after that.
Okay, I'm sure that park will be beautiful.
Really, I just wanted to tell you about Yosemite.
1,000 women a month apply.
Yeah, I mean it's a popular.
Well, anyways, KJ Hill's parents got mad. His dad got mad, irate at Arkansas that Brett Bielema tried to cancel this trip, and he told He told Arkansas, we're done, don't contact us anymore. Then he went to Ohio State and was really, 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 really good at Ohio State. And I do see his tweet now. He says, crazy but true. I bet Arkansas fans really don't like Brett Bielema. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's talk a little Tennessee football since we're talking about getting taken to pound town.
It is on topic, isn't it?
Offensive lineman Trey Smith still doing full workouts. Now doing some extra technique reps. This comes from our friend Jesse Simonson over at FallQuest with the War Room.
Now, that's good to see. Didn't Jeremy Pruitt say he's in the best shape he's ever seen him?
Smith continues to meet with doctors and prepare as if he's going to be cleared to play this fall. There's growing optimism about his return to the field in August. Well, I mean, that gives you some excitement, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, everything we keep hearing is that he's going to play and he's okay. And I'm just... I don't know. I don't know what to think about it because the other guys who've had similar to what he had never came back. So I just.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how his compares to Chris Bosh. Like, Brandon Ingram. I mean, you talk about your Lakers and the Lakers trying to trade for Anthony Davis. Brandon Ingram's also dealing with a blood clot situation. So I don't know, like, what levels or where's what's at or, you know, how similar those are to that. But there are some instances with A, careers being ended, and B, with Brandon Ingram, he's still, you know, a big piece in a trade package for Anthony Davis.
I guess there probably are levels to it.
But, I mean, we've talked about it before. Adding 15 stars to the offensive lineman, or to the offensive line, that'd be cool. Adding 15 stars with three players, that's something I could get down with.
And Brandon Kennedy from Alabama.
Brandon Kennedy from Alabama is full strength recovering from his torn ACL and is ready to go. That's the latest update from him. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a grown man. I mean, he's older at this point. I mean, Brandon Kennedy's got to be, like, what, 22 at this point at least?
Yeah.
He's a senior who's, you know, been a redshirt. Yeah. Didn't he? I want to say he redshirted Alabama, too. Yeah. So, like, I think this is going to be his is this his sixth upcoming season? So, I mean, yeah, you got a grown man at center.
Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Darnell Wright, and Wanya Morris. Man, that's four pretty big, hefty guys there. That's four guys you can get pretty excited about. Even though, of course, Wanya and Darnell Wright will be true freshmen coming in, I mean, still, you remember what Trey Smith looked like as a true freshman. If these guys are anywhere close to that, this is going to be a good offensive line.
And, look, I mean, obviously we saw even last year when Trey Smith played for Tennessee, he wasn't in shape. I don't know if it was the position change from guard to tackle or if it was a whole offseason of uncertainty about his blood clots. He came in for whatever reason, wasn't really in shape, wasn't at his best. Here, seems like maybe he could go back to his guard position, and there's less of an issue with that if I'm Trey Smith because I don't know if you've paid attention to the NFL, but guards are getting paid now. It's not like it used to be where there was a peasant payday for guards and a rich man's payday for tackles. Guards get paid big money now too. You know, yep. Not as big as tackles, but you're still getting paid.
I mean, look, if Trey Smith is as good as he was just as a freshman, he's the best offensive lineman proven on that O-line.
It seems, again, especially at guard.
Who's the fifth guy going to be, Ryan Johnson?
I don't know.
He's the projected starter, I think. Big, tall guy.
Yeah, the other guard. Is he going to just put him at the other guard position?
Yeah, he seems, what I remember about him is he seems tall for a guard. But I don't know. I think he's the best one we've got outside of those, the four aforementioned.
There's also Lampley. I think he was a four-star coming in.
Yeah. I would imagine you're not putting three freshman linemen in there at the same time. I mean, Lampley might be a factor at some point this year or at least next year. But Jameer. I would say right now it's not going to be in the plans to play Lampley, Wanya, and Darnell Wright.
You got Jahmyr Johnson. I do think that O-line.
Unless Trey Smith doesn't play, then your hand might be forced. But, mm-hmm. I mean, assuming Trey Smith gets cleared and plays guard, which they keep saying they're planning on clearing him. It's trending that way. Tennessee's definitely preparing as if he's going to get cleared. That would obviously change things if he wasn't.
I'm starting to get more excited about this college football season. I can already tell I'm going to have more excitement going into this one than I did the last one. I think we got a chance here to be
okay. Does it feel that way? Because, I mean, the chatter's been pretty quiet. The chatter's been pretty quiet about this team. And, look, a large part of it is because, like, you know, obviously 2017 we were loud because we hated Butch Jones. 2018, it was less than that, but it was still the excitement, or at least the curiosity, I guess, of a first-year coach and what can you do?
Yeah, 2018, I didn't – last year was my least interested season. And I think it was just because coming off 2017 and I just wasn't sold on Pruitt. And I'm still not, but I'm more excited when I look at our players. I think we're at least going to be competitive. We're going to win some games. I mean, we could very well be an 8-4 team this year.
Yeah, but didn't we, not just me and you, but we as a fan base, didn't we talk about last season more in the offseason? Like from like May to July? Because so far there hasn't been a lot of talk about it.
Yeah, but I think it's because
of the curiosity of Pruitt.
Yeah, learning about Pruitt and still recovering from Butch, and we had to have the funeral and all that. And, you know, it's just there was just more of a heavy football mood. But I think I'm more excited about this year, even though the chatter is down.
Again, this is coming from our friends over at VolQuest, Jesse Simonton, big friend of the show. Tennessee's plan is to sell beer inside Neyland Stadium. There's obviously logistics to work out, equipment to buy. One of the interesting things is that the SEC would like to see the beer sold in cups instead of bottles or cans. Schools want cans or bottles because it is quicker than pouring. It would limit lines and personnel needed in order to execute the sales.
Who would prefer cups?
The SEC.
But individual schools.
But the schools are all like, hey, that's a lot tougher logistically to pour these out.
Yeah, because you got to get the draft.
Just hand you a can and you go.
Yeah, all you got to do there, I mean, it takes nothing. All you got to do is bring in some coolers and fill them with ice and beer. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot easier. Plus, I mean, it's a lot quicker to just hand you a can rather than, hold on, let me get this draft out, and oh wait, that's got too much foam.
And then you got
to
change the tap, and you got to know.
And it's just a lot tougher on people who aren't used to dealing with beer, because I mean, aren't most of these concession workers like volunteers?
Yeah, and a lot of them are not going to know how to properly operate the draft,
right?
How to do the pour.
I mean, is there going to be anything with licensing there? Like, do you have to have license to pull beer? I don't think the Girl Scout troop
can serve.
Sure.
I'm assuming they're not going to be able to serve you Bud Light.
You just got
to
have a general serving license, but yeah, you got to have a license.
Right.
And like,
so volunteers might not have like that complicates things for them. But now, granted, Tennessee is going to be making all this extra money. Maybe they could put a couple people on salary, or not salary, but hourly or whatever, pay them to do this.
And a lot of them are high school kids. Like,
right.
Our baseball team at Farragut a lot of the times got to go and do the concessions at Neyland or in the basketball game.
What a
mind trick. Did
you hear Ben? Got to go do it. We got to go slave and work for free.
I wasn't a part of it. But okay. I had a couple of friends that were on the baseball team, and they always were pretty happy about it because they basically work a quarter,
yeah,
and then you get to go and watch the game.
Oh, is that how they do it?
I mean,
yeah,
like,
I don't think you have to work all four quarters.
Yeah, they'd have basically like groups of people. Like,
they'd rotate them.
They'd bring
in
the whole team. And there's like 18 people.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think about that. So yeah. So you could just you get that first quarter slot, then you just go watch the game.
Yeah. Just depends on what slot you get.
Would be cool.
The school's application for a beer permit goes before the beer board next week.
They got the sign posted up. Did you see that on Twitter yesterday?
Yeah.
At Neyland.
Yeah.
The permit sign application for beer or whatever.
Yep. And I mean, we've kind of been on that story in terms. I mean, that was a part of the renovation plan. Like, Tennessee was ready to sell beer. They were trying to get prepped for that. So at least here we see some kind of them actually backing that up, saying, yeah, no, we want to do that. We are applying. We are waiting for that to come across. And I would imagine all that goes through and gets approved and could be as early as this year. Maybe you can take in the BYU game celebrating some nice, refreshing beer.
I'm pretty excited about it. Love a cold domestic beer.
John, friend John tweets in saying Calbert is the projected starter. I guess that means that
K-Ron or K-Rod John, or I don't know how to say his name. It's got like an apostrophe and then like R-J-O-H-N. I don't know. Kerjon.
Well, that's who he says is the projected starter. I don't know.
Well, someone else says Jerome Carvin,
yeah,
the Memphis guy.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
I just not thought about him.
Jameer Johnson.
I guess we'll have more of an answer, you know, coming in the fall when fall camp opens up. And we're getting close to that, man. We're only a month and a half away from, you know, fall camp.
I mean, the offensive line, I think, is very clearly going to be better. There's no way.
Oh, no, it can't be worse.
There's no
way. It can't be worse. No. It's not going to be worse. Like, having Jim Chaney there to run a competent offense is going to help. You know, obviously these young guys coming in who are really talented are going to help. It's just, it's going to be better.
There's not
going
to be any regression
there. And it was really, really trash last year. So they got that going for them too. All right, hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. Stick with us.